We've got another Saturday segue of songs in the news and, as promised, a brand new segment. Ladies and gentlemen, because I was thinking after the New Year's show, am I getting stale? Am I doing some of the same things over and over and over too much? And I still love doing them, and I think I'll miss not doing some of them. But at the same time, it's like the Woody Allen line about relationships. You know, it's like a shark. It has to keep moving along, and at a certain point, you don't want to have a dead shark on your hands. I'm paraphrasing. So we're going to try something new. I thought of it kind of based on a game we were playing with our friends, Friendy, people who have been on this program, and we went over there for Christmas Day. You know, four atheists in a room sitting around playing Pictionary. But, well, not really. Not a full atheist, quite honestly. But had a great time. I don't even ever remember playing Pictionary. Haven't done it in years. And you know what that is. You go and you find a crazy word, a real word in a big-ass dictionary, and one of the definitions is going to be correct and the other definitions are going to be completely, you know, made up. The idea is you have to pick, which of these definitions is the actual correct one? Because everybody else is making up a fake definition and trying to trick you. So, really cool game, really cool idea. I can't believe I never played this, lover of words that I am. But it gave me this idea of, you know, I will turn 54 years old on January 23rd. So I've lived a while. I haven't had that many experiences. I've been sheltered like a veal, but I have lived. I have talked to people. I've seen a zillion movies, read books, music, etc., relationships. To some extent, I've lived and have stories and things to tell and can talk about and make jokes about. So I thought, why not crack open a dictionary, find a word, just randomly, pick a word out of the dictionary, and see if it sparks up anything. See if it sparks up any memories of anecdotes, stories that happened to me, something that I thought about, something just comes into my head. It's a little scary, which I kind of like, because I'm always more the pre-prepared, sort of scripted fella. But, you know, as I was making that comparison, not that I would ever compare myself to David Letterman, but this idea of a Letterman show going through certain stages, where at first it was all about the writers and coming up with zany things, and he was kind of this ringleader of off-the-wall, weird comedy, pushing-the-envelope stuff. And later on, it became much less about that and more about his psyche and him and trying to figure out, well, what's he all about? So, if you have any, if you care at all what the hell I'm all about, I'm moving a little bit in that direction. So, I had my darling and adorable wife, Joyce, 3 hours ago dip into the dictionary. And this is how really weird this is, that I'm a writer, I teach English, and I didn't have an actual dictionary in our house. All my dictionaries are still back in Hewlett, Long Island, where I packed them up 9 years ago before we moved. So I literally grabbed a phonetic dictionary that I used for a class I was taking here in speech and in projection and elocution. We had to buy this dictionary. So it came in handy this week. By next week, I will have a legitimate English dictionary that I can pop into and really find something more obscure. But I asked my wonderful wife to go into that particular dictionary and find a word for me. And thank you, hon. Thank you for coming up with this word. Here it is. Chlorate. Chlorate. Word I've never heard. I had to look it up. She had to look it up. But it is a chlorine derivative. And as we all know now, and I hope you will remember this, it is an anion. So that will mean something to some of you. But it is an anion. You will be tested on that. So chlorate is my word. And this is the segment, Dave's Big Dictionary. Extry, tell all about it. It's Dave's Big Dictionary. See, that's an example of the level of wit that we have here on the Dave's Gone By Regio program, that audio separation between the first part of the word and the rest of the word implying something dirty. That's high-level humor. in the neighborhood. But anyway, I want to thank you, by the way, to Paul and Terry and Laura Ann and Aline for joining us. Is it Aline or? I think it's Aline. Forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that. But thank you for joining us in this latter section of Dave's Gone By as I talk about this word, chlorate. So I'm going to cheat just a little bit because I looked it up, and because chlorate is an anion of chloride, and chloride is a facet of chlorine, well, I can certainly talk about that. In fact, I can. I told this story on the air about 2-3 years ago when this happened. And it's really cool that I've got Facebook now because I can bring my head real close into the screen. But I still don't know if you can see this.
Can you see right there?
There's a place on my forehead that is slightly lighter, depigmented, if you will, than the rest of my forehead. Now, how did that happen? I wasn't born with it. Didn't have it when I was 20. Didn't have it when I was 40. Didn't even have it when I was 50. But here's this head thing again. I'll share again for those playing at home. It's really quite happily, it's rather hard to see at this point. Yeah, I mean, don't even notice it. But boy, you noticed it on my head for weeks and weeks and weeks. And when did it happen? Happened about 2 or 3 years ago when I was swimming. And we have at our school here a very, very nice swimming pool as part of our rec center. And granted, we have, it's kind of nice, we live in a townhouse community, and we've got a nice little pool where we are, but it's only a summer pool. It's outdoors. You can't really do a lot of laps in it. It's great. Happy we have it. Didn't really want to pay all of us like $70,000 to remake it, but okay, whatever. I sound like Robert Klein. I find the negative in everything, as Jews and Jewish comedians do. But this was a different time of year. So if I wanted to go swimming, and my wife and her friend were getting into swimming, so I'm like, okay, great, let's do this. You know, when swimming in the school pool, they're teaching me stuff. It's like, well, my wife doesn't really swim, but she does exercises in the pool. Her friend does swim, teaches aerobic classes, and also was teaching me after all these years how to properly move my feet in a swimming pool, in the water. Because I can swim, but I'm just expending insane amounts of energy. And my legs are like this. And you go, nobody else can be in the pool when I'm there. Because the splashing, it is literally like a monsoon when my feet are going by in the water. And, you know, I'm really, I'm moving, you know, and I can swim and stay afloat. But if I were on, like, the Titanic, I would tire myself after about 3 minutes and just sink to the bottom. But so she's teaching me very kindly not to paddle, but just, you know, to the right way to get my feet under, to propel myself forward and not splash around so much to annoy everybody else in the pool. And so I'm learning this and I'm having a great old time. And then she and my wife are going out to dinner. And I just, you know, I'm going to just have them have a girls' night out and I'll go home and get my work done. So there, I want to stay in the pool a little while longer while they're going to go off into the locker room, change, and leave. So I do. I do another lap or two because, you know, it's a pain in the ass for me to go swimming. I'm like, oh, I got to take the clothes and put on the thing. And then when you get out, you're chilling and you're wet, got to dry off. It's such a, ugh. But once I'm in the water, it's like I'm born there. It's like I'm Nemo. Love being a fish in water. So I'll stay really as long as I can. I can easily, not necessarily just swimming, just buoyant and mellowing out and clearing my head and relaxing and going up against the jets, which is the best part. You know, because invariably my shoulder is tight or sore from something or my hand is kind of, I'll put it up against the jet stream and just the water hitting it. I almost wish it were more pressure because it just feels so good. Right? You know what I'm talking about. So I'm in the pool and I'm enjoying a couple more minutes while my wife and her friend are leaving and going off to dinner. And then I'm like, okay, I'm good. Time to come out. Now, this is a normal, real Olympic-sized pool that we have at UNC. Really nice. Other people in it. And of course, it's a college swimming pool. So I am surrounded by good-looking young people men and women, in cute swimsuits. And here I am, this old guy, middle-aged Jewish man from New York, a little bit of a pot belly, but still, you're surrounded by young, and you want to feel and be young and kind of impress people. You kind of want to, not show off, because I'm in no condition to show off, but there's just a sense of like, hey, you know, I'm still virile. I've still got it. There's still four sperm left in a sack somewhere in me. And so I can impress you that way. So instead of doing the smart thing, which is getting towards the stairs and climbing up the steps of the pool and getting out, right? I figure, oh no, oh no. I'm just going to pull myself. I'm going to do one pull-up. Because if you put a bar now on like a doorway and ask me to pull myself up, I don't know if I could do one. And that's how in shape I am. But in the water, you got all this water pressure lifting you up and down, lift up and down. So I'm thinking, I'm going to get myself out of the pool. I'm just going to push myself out of the pool, get right onto the rim, climb out that way, and show these hot girls in their swimsuits that, okay, you know, I'm not creaking along on a cane and a walker yet. So this is what I'm going to do. Big deal, right? Cool, great, fine. Push myself up out of the water, not realizing that the swimming pool is designed in a way that, I mean, because it's an Olympic-sized pool, that people dive. And it's not like a lot of pools where you have diving boards just on the deep end, the 6 or 8 or 20 feet end, so that people can really go down and do their things. There's diving boards on the regular end, because there isn't really a shallow end. It's 5, 6 feet the whole way, I think. This is a couple of years ago. I'm trying to remember. So I pull myself up, not realizing that directly overhead is a diving board, hard plastic diving board. And wouldn't you know that I don't just slam my head to the top of the diving board like this, as I'm showing folks on Facebook, but I'm pulling up with my forehead up like this because I'm looking up to where I'm going a minute too late and catch the center, the literal center of my forehead on the edge of this hard plastic diving board. And boom, I go right back down in the water, dazed for a moment, not unconscious. And then I'm like, bounce back up again, because that's what water does. And then I'm like, oh boy. And I put my hand to my head, and immediately I feel soft tissue and blood. I don't feel it, but I say like, oh, there's blood on my hand. There's a lot of blood on my hand. Oh, dear. What have I done? And now it's like, you know, I'm feeling, you know how it is when you can't actually see yourself in a mirror? So I'm figuring there's got to be blood streaming across my face. I know I've done something bad. And now I've got, the most humiliating part is now I have to go over to the stairs in the pool and climb out the way I should have in the first place. I know all these hot girls who were not paying attention to me in the first place when I was pulling myself up being macho. Now I'm like, oh God, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Because I'm figuring I look like somebody coming out of a war trench. Walk over to these women who are there just to monitor things in the pool. And I'm like, you have a bandage? I think I have a problem. And they didn't know what to do. They're trained lifeguards, but they're not nurses or anything. Do you think this is going to need stitches? They didn't know. They almost begrudgingly ran to get like a gauze and a bandage for my head. I think they felt more angry about being put out by something bad happening on their shift than being worried that I'm actually hurt or might need stitches and I'm bleeding all over the place. So they flop a gauze on my head. They make me sign a form saying that they looked at me and treated me. I should have just kept my head underwater, because what is more, what will be more astringent and antiseptic than chlorine delivering of chlorate. Huh? Huh? Told you I'd use the word. So, and then I got out of there and drove myself to Walgreens and walked in there and kind of like, you know, pull the gauze momentarily off my head and said, okay, I'm having a problem. Help me. And they ended up getting me some more gauze that I took home and probably popped some Neosporin on there. Probably should have gotten a stitch or two. And it should have gone to the emergency room or the urgent care. But I'm like, I'm not dying. It didn't crack my skull. I didn't concuss or anything like that. But the sad part of it is that here, for one second of mistake, and this stays with me all my life, for one moment of bravado, I will forever have this tiny little scar in the middle of my forehead. And this scar, by the way, that was not so tiny, and that I had a Band-Aid on for about 6 weeks. I go in to teach in class, and I have to what happened to you? He said, what's wrong with your head? And I'm like, I was swimming and came out of the pool wrong. You don't mention in class that you're trying to impress 19-year-old girls. But that part I leave out. And yet, you know, so finally the bandage came off, and it's gotten smaller and smaller, but there will always be that little reminder, that little depigmented white part of my forehead to remind me of the perils of ego and bravado and machismo, which, look at me, I certainly do not have. So that is my story about chlorate on this episode of Dave's Gone By, our 635th episode of this radio program.